Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Coming to you live from room 1406. At the Westin Hotel in Chicago.
With a spinning, whatever the hell was that big spinning bowl that we just saw?
Oversized walk.
Oversized, that was a walk.
I apologize in advance that this episode is going to be a little bit off kilter because I'm sitting here with my good friend, Dr. Rich Rosenblatt, and we have an audience of one, Hooten Shahidi, just listening to us. And we have been on an adventure already from one room to the other, to the bar, to the back to this room. And I wanted to take the opportunity while I was here in Chicago to talk to Rich and see what's going on in his life. Rich, what's up?
Nothing, T. How you been, man? I feel like it's been a while since we got to see each other.
It has been a while. I haven't looked down lately, so I haven't seen you.
I'm not missing you. I definitely don't have to, I'm seeing you right.
Well, good here, part of the problem is my belly's gotten a little bit bigger, so I can't quite see past it anymore.
It's like your privates. God, I miss you.
So Rich is a well-known speaker, does a lot of work with CEREC and CAD/CAM and digital dentistry. He's a father of plus one kids, and apparently is a husband as well, but that is questionable how often you're a husband.
Listen, I always say I lecture.
Well, at least three times you were a husband.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, three times I was a father.
Yeah.
I always say the I do travel a lot for what I do, but I think it's the only way my wife can tolerate me is by me being on the road a bunch. So it keeps things happy at home.
So what did you think about the old people coming into 1406 asking where the alcohol was?
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't have any when they, you know, you can't throw a party in 1406 and not have booze in there, right?
I'm just saying, especially when you own a vodka company.
Yes, yeah, it's a legit question.
I mean, I'm just saying. So, Rich, tell me, what's new? What have you been up to? What's going on? Tell me about dental life. What's going on?
So, dental life. My life's been a little bit crazy lately. I purchased a practice in March of this year, and...
So let's clarify that. You purchased a practice to merge...
Yeah, I purchased basically the patient charts.
Okay.
It was a very unfortunate situation where the gentleman...
It's unfortunate that they ended up with you?
Well, that too. I didn't even think about that point, but yeah, probably a little bit of that too. No, the gentleman whose practice it was diagnosed with terminal cancer in literally in about 3 weeks past. So it was very sad, and he was a great guy. I didn't know him personally, but a lot of my colleagues in the town were very close with him and super well-respected guy and just an all-around good person from what I heard. So it was very sad, but it's made my life very busy in the last 6 months or so, five months.
Well, so talk to us. So one of the things that I've heard about a great way to build practices
is by merging another practice into your practice. So talk to us about the decision process to do that.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever bought a practice and merged it into yours? Have you done anything basically generic? I don't want to say generic, but
no,
organically.
I've always just built my practice.
My
personality is conducive to building practices, not buying them and bringing them in.
You should try it. It's a pretty interesting way to...
Can you imagine anybody selling me something? Number one, can you imagine me paying for something?
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that negotiation. Oh, my God. Beta, I give you $8 for that practice. He wants $1 million. You want to give him $12.
$12. $12. Yeah.
Can we meet in the middle somewhere? Like $32?
No, it doesn't exist.
That would be bad. I agree. So, I bought this practice in a small town north of Chicago, about 25, 28 miles. And it's a town that has no land to build. So it's right against Lake Michigan. And so for the last 9 years after I bought this practice, I've been trying desperately to build this practice. And you and I have had so many conversations over the years at the beginning when I was really struggling trying to figure out how to gain new patients. I was kind of weighing the pros and cons of joining PPOs versus not joining insurance. And you were a big part of that, of making me kind of try to think more like a business person, where you're like, well...
But you are Jewish, so why do you not think...
Black sheep of the Jews. I'm learning as I go along to finally try to be a business person. But it was, that business is definitely not my strong suit at all. And so when... you would talk to me about, would you rather have open chair time and not make any money, or join some PPOs and get some patients in and see what happens? And it really did sort of help stabilize my practice some, but it wasn't a growth boon to my practice either. I mean, there was new people to the practice, so it helped and it kind of kept me afloat, but I needed more. And it's in my town, there's just no way to, we were averaging when I bought the practice, like 2 new patients a month. I remember I spent $16,000 the first full month that I was in my practice to do like direct mail, all kinds of things, advertising in newspapers, everything under the sun. And we got 15 patients. It was $17,000. I got 15 new patients from $17,000. And it was the end of July, and I was just devastated. And my front office person, Yolanda, comes in, and she goes, "Did you see how many new patients we had this month?" And I'm like ready to cry. I said, "Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it. We had 15 new patients." She goes, "I know, unbelievable. We haven't had that many new patients in a year." And I mean, it was like the air coming out of the balloon. It was like sitting on a whoopee cushion. It's like,
And you're like, "What did you buy?"
I thought I was dead. I mean, all I saw was me going bankrupt in 6 months. So it was a very scary thing. And because I didn't know how to market, I didn't know how, and advertising, and we're in a very I'm in a very affluent town. So trying to figure out how to make that work by advertising in a way that would resonate in that area was not easy to do for me. So when I bought the practice, there was about 750 patients or so in the practice, maybe 800, not even close to 800, a little less. And I built it till March. We had 1,484 patients
in
the practice.
How many years?
9.5 years it took me to
double.
So in
10 years, you grow 700 patients.
I basically almost doubled.
So that's averaging 70 patients a year. Divide that by 12. So that's literally, like 4 patients, 5 patients a month.
And most of that growth happened probably in the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So I mean, it took a long time to go from, 2 patients, 3 patients a month until that my name got out there and it started to get a little bit of a trust factor. And, the CEREC really helped my practice a lot because the economy died right when I bought my practice in 07 and the economy crashed in 08. And we have so many.
Do you treat a lot of short people in your practice?
Well, we just call them people in my practice. So, I don't call them short. They don't look short to me.
Wait, I don't think anybody looks short.
It's actually a pediatric practice. No, I'm kidding. So, I just thought they were tall. I just thought they were regular sized people. They're actually kids that I see. So, no, honestly, it was that helped a bunch, but it still wasn't the growth the exponential growth that I was hoping for. And then all of a sudden, I bought this practice in March of this year.
Do you think you paid too much for your initial practice?
Yes. I didn't know anything about due diligence. I didn't know how to look at a practice and know if I was getting, how to see how many really new patients we were having. And just was something that it was in my town. It was in an affluent area. I just figured the gentleman who did it was a very good dentist and a good guy. And he, but you know, it's when you sell a practice, you have an idea of what you want to get for it. And I just didn't know what you should be paying for it. And I didn't have a ton of money when I was looking to buy a practice. And so I just figured, I'll just figure it out. You know, I thought I could figure out the numbers with an accountant, and it didn't go the way I expected it to. I mean, it was really a long journey for me the last 9 years. And so when this thing happened with the new practice, I mean, like gangbusters. It was amazing, the difference.
Well, it was like steroids. It was a shot in the arm.
It was drinking water. I would say it was like drinking water through a fire hose. I mean, it was really that. And I have a small, I have four
that
ops.
That means you're drowning then?
No. Just drinking, just a lot of water coming at me fast.
You do understand English is my second language.
Okay.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
So just a lot of water, it was overwhelming at the beginning. I wasn't drowning, but it was very overwhelming going from 22 new patients in January to 100, you know, when I say new patients that I've seen, face to face from the practice that I bought in the month of March.
So I want to go back for a second.
Sure.
Okay. So you bought a practice 7-8 years ago, however long
ten,
ago? Okay.
Nine
10
and
years
a half,
ago.
Yeah.
Well, the numbers are irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't mess up a good story with the truth. Okay. So, so how did you go from something that was averaging 2 patients a month to 20 patients?
It was a little combination of everything. It was PPOs. It was now patients were referring people a fair amount. And, you know, we were doing SEO. I was working with a company to kind of get my SEO up there. You know, this company, Dentist Identity, helps me out with that personally. And they did my website and stuff. So all those things, like little things of everything, you know, maybe we'd get 8 or 9 PPO patients that month. We'd get 5 or 6, you know, internal referrals that month. We'd get a couple people just looking for dentists in Lake Forest or whatever it was, looking for, you know, I come up big in CEREC and stuff like that, or one visit Crowns. So all those things kind
of. Do you think people are searching for that?
They do. I just had 2 people in this week that I said, how'd you find me? And this person had come from Seattle or something. And she's like, I wanted CEREC. I'm like, how did you know? I saw a commercial, but I started looking for it. So
you really think people are searching for convenience and CEREC dentistry and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of people really search out things. They're becoming smarter, as far as I can tell from when I asked them, how'd you find out about us? We had somebody call our office. They come from, they were in the southern Illinois, like 3 hours away. And they're like, I researched you, you know, knows that I was affiliated with the Spear and all that kind of stuff. And I want to, he's had this crazy, just saying
and
all this.
He says, I want to come over and get an MOD from you.
No, I mean, he's like, oh, I don't mind. I said, we're 3 hours away. And he's like, I have all this old dental work with decay underneath a lot of stuff. And I travel 3 hours to see a periodontist. And I'm like, there's a lot of stuff going
on. That person might need to see a psychiatrist.
So, you know, I'm just saying that people are looking stuff out. I didn't say that we, you know, that it was, that it came to fruition. I'm just saying that.
No, I get
but
you.
This week, there's been a lot of that. And we always tend to ask, where are you coming? You know, how'd you find out about us? And what did you search out or something like that? And I see more and more of that all the time. I really do. So I think it is important to patients. I still think in-network, and we talk about it all the time, is really important. I get, you know, we get that all the time.
And are you still in-network?
I am still in-network.
Are you happy with that? Unhappy with that?
I'm sort of mixed with it, in all honesty. Sometimes it gets frustrating when you want to do something and you know that from a time perspective, it's just not financially. Well, like even just what composites.
Like doing fillings.
Like doing composites, you know, to sit there and have them say, well, we're just going to downgrade it or pay next to nothing for it. And it's the hardest thing to do. I mean, it's so grueling and to get paid $100 for like an MOD, you know.
And when you have short fingers like that, they don't quite reach
the nubbins,
second molars.
Man. It's like,
can you even reach second molars?
Yeah, try putting a band in between a second molar with a, you know, a Jimmy Dean here, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but yeah, that's, I mean, I was going to ask you a question before as far as, you're still, how much percentage are you PPO in your practice?
Oh, dude, hell, I don't know. I know that we're roughly 70% insurance, like 70% of our patients have insurance. I would say 50% are in network.
50% of that 70% or?
No, 50% of total practice. Of the practice is probably in network.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
It is.
It's a big number in
so,
my practice.
So, I mean, you gave me a tip that worked well for me when I started to decide what I wanted to do, which was, you know, I didn't want to join every plan. There was a couple of plans that we had where I had a big percentage of my patients, like MetLife was a big one for my practice, where one of the drug companies near us took it and used it. And I said,
I mean, that's going to kill
yeah.
a big chunk
it's
of it.
It's going
to
kill your
So you said run a thing to see what ones you take the most of and start from the bottom and work your way up.
Right.
You know, so don't start with the ones you take the most of. Start with the ones you take the least of and try to get them.
Yeah, because what you don't want to do when you start taking insurance suddenly is you don't want to downgrade your existing practice.
Right, because they're already coming to you.
Right.
So why sit there and just give them the discount because you're a nice guy? If you want to give them a discount, just give them a discount.
Right.
So,
in fact, give them the discount without having to deal with the insurance nonsense.
Exactly. So that was a great tip for you, and it really helped me a lot when we were talking earlier before the microphones were on. You're like, what, you know, I was making a joke about you never doing anything good for right. me, but that was one good
point.
You
came point. Up with one good
so there
thing.
Was
That's
one.
Awesome.
So you did
That's
do that
awesome.
For me.
Really
so I do appreciate that.
So before we move into the merging of the practice, mm-hmm. what else have you done over the last 9 or 10 years that you have found has grown your practice, grown your production, and grown your professional satisfaction?
I think a big thing for me was 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago in this October, we did a remodel in my practice. So even though the size of the practice, I leased my space in a building with there's three other suites in mine, and one of the landlords is a friend of mine who's an orthodontist, and he needed to actually expand his space. So we wanted to expand in where we have a common wall. Was going to take one of my ops. So I basically worked it out with them where they would go ahead and use my they would reconfigure my internal space so I would still have 4 ops. And when I did that, I built space for a cone beam, and I bought cone beam, and then, you know, started to try to do some implant stuff and just better diagnosis, and that was pretty awesome. I mean, I really love that technology.
Has cone beam been a good investment?
I love cone beam. It's just one of those ones. Like I mean, everybody knows I do so much CEREC stuff, so I'm a big junkie. I just like tech. I like intraoral cameras. I like digital X-rays.
You know,
I
hate intraoral cameras.
I know you like regular cameras.
Yeah,
you know,
intraoral cameras suck.
You know, I like mine. I do like my camera. I mean, I don't use it. When I'm documenting cases, obviously I don't use an intraoral camera. But just for the ease of being in a room real quick and just snapping pictures and just showing people quadrant dentistry and arches and stuff, it's nice and easy to use for me. So I just do it that way. But
your standards aren't very high.
No, I agree. You know, so that's fine. I mean, I've got to do some of those special crowns you're doing, you know.
Yes, chrome steel crowns.
Whatever, they're nice, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, white out, paint them, try to match them to the adjacent teeth. But I do. But that one for me was one where I remember one of the doctors, a doctor called me to ask me about why do I like cone beam. And yeah, the production was a big part of it because it made me comfortably want to do implants because I do all my implants guided. I don't do freehanded implants
here.
For
right.
me. I just find – I'm not saying that you can't do freehanded implants because people always want to yell
at
me.
No, but you can. Of course you can.
I just find with my comfort level, I like doing them guided because I like knowing where I am at all times. I just like having – it's like driving with GPS. I just enjoy having that. And so
– do you have to sit on a booster chair when you drive?
The one that I borrowed from when we were at the course that we took at your place. Oh, I still
that was awesome.
I still thought that was really one of the funniest things you ever did.
So for those of you that are listening, and you think that I'm being totally mean to Rich, which is kind of true. Rich is about 5'2".
No, I'm not 5'2". You jerk. I'm 5'6" with heels.
Okay, so he's about 5'4". Okay, and not that that's tall or short. I mean, it is what it is. But so we make fun of Rich's height, just like he makes fun of my width. Okay,
and I make fun of my height.
Yeah, and he makes fun of himself. And so Rich was coming to our training center to take a integration program. And so just because Rich and I have been great friends for a long time, so I went to my car and I took out my son's booster seat.
First of all, let me interrupt the story because you did something before that. As we were driving in, we had a bunch of people that were in the van
bus.
That knew me, you know, and a bunch of people who didn't, that were just people coming in for your class. So I said, I warned them. I said, listen, when I go in there, these are the 8 jokes that Tarun's been telling about me for the last 10 years that I've known him. It's the same 6-8 short jokes.
Well, why would I come up with anything new?
No, why not? They, you know, you laugh at them. So, I mean, if you figure you'll laugh hard enough, people will just laugh by infection. It's
pretty
fine.
Much.
So I'm like, so here's what he's going to do. Bang, bang, give your standards. So I walk in, and what's the first thing? I see Erin with her camera videotaping me as I'm walking in. I'm like, why are we getting videotaped as we walk in? And as you walk in through your lobby and then your thing to go upstairs, there's that long vertical
chalkboard.
and everyone's looking, and I'm not paying any attention. I look over on the chalkboard. It says, "You must be this tall to enter this class." And I'm like, "Oh my god!"
It's like a roller coaster ride.
It was unbelievable. We were dying. That was really funny. So what did I do to Erin? I flipped her the bird into the camera to you because that was very obnoxious. And then I went upstairs, and of course, you lay out the seats, and you have 12 seats or whatever up there, and so everyone has assigned seats. So you put me right front row,
front and
middle, okay?
Front and center.
So you're like, "Go grab a seat. We're gonna get the class started." So what do? I open up the seat. I pull back my chair to go sit in it, and you put your son's booster seat in my chair.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. I laughed really freaking hard at that. That was
good.
Usually have good jokes, but
that was awesome.
That was two out of the Parkers. So yeah, I was really impressed with you.
That was like 5-star.
Yeah, but now you've been living off that one for like 4 years now.
What does it matter?
Oh, no, it's good. It's a great story.
I have peelings, okay? So don't mess with my peelings.
I won't mess with your peelings.
Or I'm going to make you wear a CPAP too. So all right, back to reality here. So Conebim's good for you. Obviously, Sarek's been good for you. Anything else? SEO's been good for you.
SEO's been good for us too. Yep, I think SEO's been good. And we use patient communication in my practice. You know, we were a Lighthouse user for a long time. I do a lot of stuff with Patterson. I love Patterson's been really good to me. And I know that they work. I have Eaglesoft. When I switched my practice and I upgraded it, I went from Dentrix to Eaglesoft, which Eaglesoft's awesome, but when you switch
any switch is horrible.
It's the worst.
It's horrible.
So I added Conebim.
Like your team hates you.
Yeah, I did. I added so much new stuff all at one time, and they were so mad at me. I said, it's like wisdom teeth. You don't tell somebody to get out one. You get out all four, and you just heal all at one time. So that's what I did. I put every new thing in at one time.
And you got healed.
And we healed. We healed very nicely. And so, and the other thing we did was we implemented, at that point, it was Lighthouse. And then with Eaglesoft and us getting better and better at trying to utilize more of the stuff with it, RevenueWell now really does a nice job of integrating all of the stuff that they do, even with treatment. And you're the reason I switched, in all honesty.
That's another good thing I'm going to have done for you.
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I'm early in, so, but it's been good so far. But you, and I said, I really liked Lighthouse. I mean, they're good company, good people. But I just, with the integration with what they were doing with Eaglesoft for me and the and how nice it was to be able to like send the stuff over from your treatment plans and all that stuff, it's really pretty amazing. So I did. So we switched. But even just having, when I used Lighthouse all those years, man, it was, I think for us, that was a big part of like the schedule not breaking apart all the time, and it reminded people of their appointments and
By text, email,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just great. It's a great,
I think you'll find as you get more and more used to RevenueWell and you start using it, mm-hmm. You'll find that you're going to really start noticing a difference in that software.
Yeah, I
because it's not just patient communication; it's also patient marketing, and I think that's really, in my opinion, what separates RevenueWell from many of the products. The other products are patient communication tools. Mm-hmm. But RevenueWell is truly a marketing platform.
Yeah, their campaigns that we saw were very nice. And the way that their site is laid out is very, it's very easy to navigate. And they've been really good. So I said, I'm just early in. So I'm talking more just having a patient communication system. And again, I went over there mainly because you kept annoying the crap out of me.
Well, that's my job.
But it is. But one thing I always say about you, we all get to hear a lot of speakers all the time. And I've said this on other podcasts that we've done is, you resonate very well for me as a speaker because I kind of model how I speak off of what, not all the cursing and stuff, but
what?
You know, I'm
what?
Just saying,
I mean, geez, Louise,
geez, Louise, that was good. That was a nice one. So no, it was the way you always lay things out in a very, A to Z kind of a fashion. Do this, then do this, then do this, and then this happens.
Right.
And so you're very good at simplification.
Well, thank you.
No, I appreciate that because it's a definite skill set to be able to do that. And
well, that's because my brain doesn't think very fancy.
And that's why I think we get along so well and why I try to lecture the same way. I like to think about sort of being on the left side of the bell curve a lot of the time as far as comprehending stuff. I'm not these guys that like – that set the standard. I'm the guy who listens to the person who sets the standard and tries to figure out how do I make that work for me. And I just need that person to sort of dumb it down so I can get it.
Right.
And you do a great job of not dumbing only being sort of a standard setter, but also being able to sit there and feed that to people. And I think that in the years that we've been doing all our CEREC beta testing and stuff, I've really worked hard to try to do the same type of thing. So I, when you were telling me about all the stuff that this does, it really kind of made me finally just say, all right, let's give it a whirl.
We just had to bother you enough.
Yeah, it just gives me another reason to hang out with you more.
Yeah, you know, and at the end of the day, and thank you, Rich. Thank you so much for the compliment. I think at the end of the day, what I try to tell people when we do workshops is, listen, you go learn the science and then learn all the knowledge somewhere else, but let me teach you how to make it work in your practice.
I'm an anecdotal guy. This is how it works for me.
Yeah,
you know, I'll quote the science from other people who do it.
Yeah,
and so this, so I can regurgitate.
I can't even quote the science because I don't even, quite honestly, I don't understand it.
Yeah,
but so okay, so now here we are. We're in a situation where your practice is doing obviously much better than when you bought it.
Yep,
things are stable to a certain degree.
Yep,
but you still need that shot in the arm.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, well, so for me, it's not that the shot in the arm. I mean, the volume for me now is there. That's not my issue. My issue now is...
No, I'm talking about pre-merging.
Oh, pre-merging.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
You know, before the merge, you wanted it and you needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did you come to that decision to take that risk? Because the first time you bought a practice, retrospectively, it wasn't...
No.
Honestly, it wasn't a great decision.
No.
So now here you are faced, in a way, the same opportunity. So obviously you must have had jitters and must have had these scary thoughts of, my God, I'm going to buy another practice. This is going to happen again.
Right.
So, you know, talk to me about that.
I was so scared. So scared in when this whole thing was coming to fruition in like February. And I remember because when I bought my practice the first time and we were going through numbers, my father-in-law, who I love and respect immensely, he's an amazing man. And he's just very smart with numbers. And we were going over the numbers and he just was like saying it didn't really make sense to him the first time. But I know dentistry and I'm doing all this stuff that this guy.
Well, you were trying to convince yourself.
Well, and the guy that I bought the practice from didn't do endo and didn't do extractions
and implants and all these
things. I'm thinking
probably didn't do perio treatment either.
So I'm going to kill it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. I just didn't realize that there were no patients to be able to kill it. Well, you need people.
Yeah.
You know? So
it's interesting you say that, by the way, because you know that reminds me of something that I tried to get to my younger dentists and honestly even our older dentists.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spend too much time learning clinical dentistry and not enough time learning how to get our patients into the clinical dentistry.
Agreed.
You know, and so that's the same thing. You were focused on, hey, I'll have so much dentistry to do, but you forgot to look at, are there patients
right
there to do
well,
it on?
Well, I can do, I have the ability to do so much more than the person who was referring all that out. And now all of a sudden I get in and I realize there's nothing. He was a really good dentist. So clinically, his stuff was great. Everything was looking really good. So there wasn't, I'm in a high IQ population as far as even dental IQ. It was pretty good.
Is a high IQ only compared to you?
I'm talking, yeah, maybe in a physical stature. Like
I'm talking about even a mental
well,
stature.
Too, you know, listen, I set the bar low, man. I set the bar low. I'm relatable. So so that for me was a very scary moment. So I remember going to do this and what did it for me, in all honesty, was initially when I was looking to purchase the practice potentially back in January after it happened, there was like four other people looking to buy it. And I said, I'll look at the numbers, but I just, in looking at them, the practice was a viable practice, but I didn't want a second location. It was down the street from me, a half a mile. And I'm like, I don't want to run two locations. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted the charts. So, and then I realized I don't want to get in a bidding war. I don't want to offend this person by giving a low bid for somebody in my town.
That wouldn't bother me at all.
I know it wouldn't, but it just wasn't something I was comfy with. So I just said to I said to the person who was looking, who was helping to sell the practice, it was his brother, I said, you know what, I'm going to step out and let these other people do it and bid.
Right.
And so when they came back to me about a week or two later and said, we'd really like to, you know, the people in the office, I did some help with the practicing emergencies and trying to help them through this.
Help the wife transition.
Yeah. I was seeing all the emergencies for free. I was doing all the crown seats that were outstanding for free just to try to help them. And I wouldn't take any patients of record. My thing to the family was, I will not see a patient of record until you sell the practice to whoever. And then they meet the new dentist. And if they're not happy, then I'll take them because they're going to leave anyway. So then they can come to me, but I wouldn't step on any toes. So when they came back to me, I basically had a number in my head that I knew was a low number.
What was that number?
I don't want to talk about numbers. I don't want to get to that point. But it was a number based on, you know, when you're talking that a practice is making whatever and most people are
typically
looking
60-70%.
So I was definitively under that lower,
because it was a fire sale for a death.
Correct. Okay. And after going through what I went through the first time, I figure I'm just going to give a number that I said this directly to the person who was selling it. I said, the place is, you know, it's been 6 or 8 weeks, 7 weeks since he passed. And this is a number that if not one patient came in, if everybody went somewhere else in this 7 weeks, because I don't know how many people are left, and they didn't have practice, they had one computer in the front that had practice management software, no computers in the ops, no digital x-rays, no nothing. So it was very hard to really know how many patients they truly had. And so I said, I threw out a number that was still under 50%. And I said, this is what I'm comfortable where I can afford, because my office was going to be paid off in May. So I figured I have a couple of months of double payments.
Made another mistake.
I can afford this one.
Okay.
You know, and then even if I get some patients, I'd probably be able to at least salvage what was going on. And so I was like at that comfort level. And then I gave that number to my father-in-law. He said, man, if that happens, you got to do this. Because my wife was like, tell my dad, he'll tell you not to buy it. And then I went to tell him and he's like, you got to buy it if you get it for that.
Right.
And I did. And they came back 4 days later and accepted the offer. And so, and ever since then, it's been crazy.
And like, what percentage of the patients have are staying with you right
we've
now?
We've only given up in 4 months. We've only 12 patients we've had to send records on 12 patients so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's huge. Good. We're going to have like an 85 to 90% patient retention.
Okay, good. And this is essentially almost, not quite, doubled.
Almost doubled my practice.
Double your patient base. Yeah. So now we've got a new problem, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Now our problem is time,
mm-hmm.
Integrating new team members,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly I don't use the word overdiagnosing, but not shocking your patients.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically when younger people, and you're still young, by an older practice, mm-hmm. The older practice has slowed down. They're not diagnosing as well. They're not diagnosing modern
uh-huh.
diagnosis. So you don't want to be the new guy
right.
that comes in and tries to sell them something.
Well, let me tell you, it's interesting you bring that up, because the big thing that's really made this a transition for me that's been amazing. So I hired the front desk from the old office. I hired the hygienist, and both of them have been there. Well, the front desk has been there, say.
So did you have the option not to hire somebody?
Of course.
Okay.
You know, but I called them both. It was Super Bowl Sunday.
How many employees did he have?
He had, the assistant had left. So he had one front, one hygienist, and one assistant. That
okay,
was it.
So you had a choice of three people.
But the assistant was already gone. So I was just really two that I could have hired from there. And so I talked to them both. And I figured, you know what? These people have been going to this doctor for 34 years, a lot of them. The hygienist has been with them since the beginning. So I figured it would be a great way to sort of bring that transition, make it a seamless one. We sent out a letter saying that we've hired Diane and Andy. And so it was a very comforting thing to say, we're a very family oriented off practice. And you're going to have the same kind of experience that you would have had before, except for the fact that we bring a technology aspect to it that you've probably never seen before, to give them an idea that we have cameras and digital x-rays. And what I didn't realize the value was going to come in was not only
the patients like being blown away, but the new employees were blown away by what was going on.
And then they had that built-in trust.
So they want to come right when their new patient comes in for the first time that they're so excited to see, oh, Andy, I'm so glad you're here. She goes, I'm going to take these. And she walks about to the comb beam. And she's like, wait till you see this. And she's so excited to tell the new patient about the comb beam.
An existing patient to her.
They're existing. My new patient. But her old one that she has this long 30-some-odd-year relationship with. And then she's like, wait till he takes pictures. You're going to see all your teeth. And so we start going through, and I do a full photos on everybody and all
can
that kind
of
stuff.
Can you believe practices don't take photographs?
No, I can't.
You know, that's what started my career.
Right.
As a speaker and educator, it was all just the photography.
Photography, I remember it very well.
I was a 24-year-old punk, for God's sakes, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that and your over-the-shoulder stuff back in the day. I remember those. So for me, when you talk about having to sell dentistry, I don't. I just take photographs, and I show the patients this is what's going on, and they're like, I didn't know that was there. And then they start to own. They're like, this is amazing. I didn't realize. And so I started working. One of the problems I was having, it was just so much chaos going on, and I didn't know how to run a business, that I finally went my big props to my Patterson rep. And this is what I tell people all the time. And people want to say, well, I use Net32 or eBay or whatever for my supplies, China, wherever they're buying stuff from. And I say,
why didn't you say India?
Whatever, India, Alibaba. I mean, you know.
Alibaba's Chinese, but that's okay.
Is it? Oh, okay. Sounded like something.
Sounded like Persian, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. So I said to my rep at the beginning of the year, did something very pretty. He said, he's a very driven guy. His name's Nick. And Nick said, I have two goals, a personal goal, whatever his personal goals were, and a business goal. And my business goal is I want to work with the 50 most productive dentists in Chicago. Now, he can't just go and pick the 50 most, but he's like, so what am I going to do to make my crop of doctors in that 50, top 50? So he started looking up practice management and how to do it. And he brought in Bruce Baird, PDA, Productive Dentist Academy, and to Chicago a couple of last month in July. And back in March, he told me, I'm going to bring him in. Are you interested? And I've been looking at going that for a while. Couldn't afford it.
Yeah, you know, Bruce was in Raleigh and I couldn't make it. I was out doing electric.
Bruce is a great guy. I really enjoy Bruce. He's just down to earth, good dude. And I like his systems. I mean, I really, I like what he's done with PDA. So I told my team, we got to do something to sort of get the scheduling, the meetings, all this stuff in order. So I brought my whole team with me and we went to see him on a 2-day class and Nick brought them in. And
so this was a private PDA.
Private thing, yeah. PDA came up to Chicago.
Just for Nick's customers.
Nick's customers. And we had to pay to do it, but it was great. I mean, so I brought my whole, I was the only person.
You don't have to travel.
Saved me a ton of money, more than half. And I brought my entire, I was the only one who brought my whole team with me.
So that's the first problem. You can't win without bringing your team.
You have to bring your team.
Can't do it alone.
You can't go back and be all excited about something and all they want to do is shut you up and go back to what they're comfortable doing. So you have to be able to have them buy in. And what I did was after we went for 2 days, I said, I'm not asking you to believe everything that they're saying, but if you believe the core, we're going to come back. We had our office meeting on Tuesday. We have a monthly meeting for 2.5 hours every Tuesday that we block out our schedule just to go over numbers and stuff like that. And I said, everybody give me a 2-minute synopsis on what you thought about the meeting. And I went around and everybody told me what they liked and what they didn't like. And I said, if I decide to go with this coaching, are you in? I said, and it was like, I said, pretend you're all sitting in the exit row. I need a verbal yes or no. And I made everybody own wanting to go to this. And so they all said they would do it. And so I said, all right, you said you're in. And I also told them, I said, I really appreciate it. I'm really excited to do this, but also realize that if you decide you're not going to buy in after the fact and we're going forward and you're going to be the laggard, I said, there's job security here too. But I said it out loud in front of the whole group, and everybody, they've been great with it. They've really been great with it. So I think everybody's looking forward to doing that. And I'm just deciding that this year, now that I'm doing this, it's time to invest back in me and start getting a coach. And I hired somebody to help me with billing a little bit and do stuff like that. So it's going to be a good year. I mean, I'm really looking forward to sort of changing up what we were doing before to what we're doing now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Good. So what are some of your struggles that you're dealing with right now?
We're dealing with space problems. Here's a problem. I built when I redid my office 3.5 years ago. I put in a new operatory in a small op that we had built.
That was op number four.
Op number four. So I redid op number four. And I always had rear delivery in my old practice in the city. So I said, I want rear delivery back. Not realizing that in a small op, you can't put rear delivery in. And it ruined, so nobody likes doing work in there. So now I really have like a 3-hour practice and we do impressions and really quick fillings and stuff like there. I won't do a Cerec in there because the person can't get past the chair on either side and they're screwed.
They're locked in.
It's just so I'm actually ripping out my op that I built 3 years ago and building a new op so I can make it functional.
Okay.
You know, I figured instead of having to go out and build a brand new practice, I'll just spend some money on, re-spend some money on a set, on the doing it the right way. And making enough money so in a few years when I have to, when I really need the space, I'll go ahead and that thing I'll have paid for itself pretty quick.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Has your existing team gotten along with the acquired team members?
Been amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. So the two that they're great. The two ones from the other office really enjoy sort of the camaraderie. We have a very.
They're probably excited to have some fresh.
They do. We like to bust balls a lot, yeah. You know. And I can be a little intense, but I really like to have fun.
A little person intense.
A little person intense. We just call it intense in the little world, you know. Okay. And so. But also I really like to have, you know, I mean, I like to bust chops.
Yeah, we like to have fun.
We do. So I try to bring that into a lot of what we do. So I think that, you know, just having the two of them, it was, you know, there wasn't as much interaction. So my front desk is the Yolanda. She's so much fun. And so Diane and Yolanda have a great time. And, you know, it's been really good. And then I hired a very young assistant, fresh out of assisting school, never worked in a practice in her life. And I interviewed like 4 or 5 people. The second I met this one, I knew that she was going to be great. She just was a go-getter, has been working in her family's business since she's 13. You could just tell she was super motivated. And within 3 months, I got her designing my Cerecs already.
Wow.
You know, she's been great. You know, I mean, I still like check stuff real quick, but now I go and do hygiene checks and she does all my design while I'm doing all the other stuff in the office. And she did my staining glaze within a week. She was doing all the staining glaze in the practice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So kind of bring them in. And now like with this revenue, well, you know, we just started it on Monday or whatever it was. And I don't have time to look at the computer and do all that. She's going through the first day we put in revenue well, we had all these outstanding emails that were never collected. And they sent out text messages to everybody. We need your email. And so people were calling. What's going on? Is this a virus? And so we're like, no, we just started this new program. And Michelle had all of these emails. She, within the day, 200 and some emails, put them all into EagleSoft. She just is not afraid of the computer. So she's been wonderful. And so, that's been, and I actually didn't hire her. My other assistant who's been with me since I'm there, she's been there 20 something years. I had to make sure she wasn't going to feel threatened.
Right.
So I said, you have to be here when I interview everybody. And I need you to pick out the person you're going to feel that we're going to be able to grow together with. And you're not going to feel like, oh my God. So she's like, that's the one I want. And
oh, good.
So, yeah, it worked out good.
Good. All right. So let me ask you some tough questions, Rich.
Talk to me.
So where are you at with medical billing?
I use Houtan's company, yeah. But I don't do very much medical billing, especially now with my office being in chaos and trying to control it. For me personally, and we had this conversation actually at dinner tonight, and I had it with Houtan also. My biggest thing is that if you're an organized office and have good systems, you can build, I mean, it would, you'll kill it. I didn't, and I didn't have, I needed for me to be able to, there's a lag time in waiting for some of the stuff to come through.
Yes.
And it just, I didn't personally get all of the nuances of how to make it happen. So when I talked to Hootent and I said, really, just like you were talking about breaking down a lecture and how you break it down into the simplicity of it, it's a very, you know, medical billing, just trying to do it on your own is crazy. So when you have somebody like Hootan and his crew that really know how to, like, what you can bill for, and there's just such an amazing amount of knowledge for you, and take a lot of the, all of the onus of the billing side away from you, it's more of the, okay, so now that I do that, number one, you have to talk to patients differently about it, because you're like, they see, like, when you bill for an appliance, you know what your billing number is for a sleep appliance, what you're sending to medical?
Dollar amount?
Yeah.
Yeah, we send in $4,000. Our allowed is $2,600 something.
Okay. So, but if they didn't have medical, are you still billing the patient $4,000? I mean...
No. Our cash price is $2,500.
So when you're trying to kind of... So it's trying to get a good kind of way to explain that to patients so they understand it, and then trying to figure out a way from an accounting perspective to make all that simple. And that for me has been the hardest part, you know. And I think that when we get through all those kind of things, it's an absolute gold mine. Like for somebody like you, who you are,
but I'm not organized at all,
but you're way more organized than the average, you know, grizzly bear like you look like. So there's you. When we sit, I've taken many, many courses from you, and you may say you're unorganized, but when you talk about the way that you do your financing,
yeah,
you know, where you just create these, you know, like there's that comprehensive finance right, like Bruce does.
Yeah.
So you kind of do your own comprehensive finance, you know, but you just do it in-house.
Yeah, so we do payment plans versus financing.
Correct, payment plans, but you know what I mean. But you're taking all the risk in doing it,
yes.
You know, and you teach us how to do it and why it's worth it and all that kind of stuff. Most people are never organized to do something along those lines. That's why you work.
Yeah, but to me, Rich, that's an excuse because at the end of the day, we're after time or money or whatever it is. So sometimes we have to create, you know, sometimes we have to take a step back from our practice. You know, we got to take a time out,
sure,
half day off, whatever it may be, and dedicate it to this one system. What do we got to do to make this work?
I 100% agree with you. I mean, that's why, like, this year, for the first time, I decided at the beginning of the year, before I even bought this practice, we blocked out the second Tuesday of every month for 2.5 hours to be able to sit and talk uninterrupted as a whole group, because it was the only day that the whole office could be there.
Right.
Because I have part-time hygienists every day of the week. So that Tuesday block was the one time everybody could be there. So I said, block it out for the rest of the year. And I know it's production out of my office, but it's
totally worth it.
It's amazingly worth it. And so I only have enough energy to do little spurts like that and kind of command that and then move on to the next thing. I can't do, if I try to do 10 of those things, like throwing medical billing and throwing like block scheduling and all this other stuff I want to incorporate in my practice, I'd never do any of it. So I know it's an excuse. I'm giving you my excuse why it hasn't happened.
So I think one of the challenges that you and everybody has with medical billing is, and I had it, so I'm saying these things from my own experience, is that you're complicating what's not necessary to complicate, you know? And I think really what you should focus on is billing for your exams, especially the exams that you give away. Mm-hmm. Those are your hygiene patients you see for the third time a year, the ones you don't charge them for, or your post-op follow-ups, or your bite adjustments, these kind of office visits that you're doing for free. You're doing your CT, your cone beam, you're essentially doing that for free. Mm-hmm. So to me, those are the things that you bill for. So you're right, it does take longer to get paid on certain things. And if we don't have that ability to extend out AR in the beginning, don't bill for those things. Bill for those things that you're giving away, so it's truly found money.
That was the scariest face I've seen in a long time.
Well, I just had a yawn, you know.
That was not a yawn. Your mouth didn't open.
Yeah, but I yawned through my nose.
Wow, man, that was unbelievable.
I yawned through my nose. I fart through my butt. I'm just telling you the fact.
Don't worry, I've seen it all night long. So that's the other thing too. Is the other big stumbling block for us, and when people talk to me who've attempted it and not been successful, like somebody like you or Armin, who's really killing, or even some of our local friends, my local friends here in Chicago, who've been really doing well with it, my old office that I worked at in the city, was it's that the freaking deductible. And you get that massive deductible. So what do? Do I not bill it now? Do I hold this thing off until the end?
I don't think you should do that. You know? I don't think you should.
So you know what I'm saying? So it's all of that stuff. And then trying to bill it, and then it goes to the deductible. So it's just that.
Then you go to dental.
Again. So it's just.
But you're making a, I'm just saying, you and everybody else, me included, you're making a problem that doesn't exist.
So.
Because listen, somebody's going to, your patient, somebody's going to get that deductible money, right? Whether you charge them for it and they eat the deductible, mm-hmm. or whether their physician charges them and they eat the deductible, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, someone's going to do that. So, anyway.
No, so I'm with you on all that.
So like promise me this. Me. By the end of the year, you will be billing medical insurance.
I will say, I'm not going to say by the end of the year.
Why not?
Houtan offered to fly out to help me out, by the way. So, and I'm hoping that I'm very special, or do you just do that for all of your peeps? So they... What I will say is this, that is on my list of important things to do. It's definitely not on my list of the most important thing to do, because I need to control my everyday systems in my practice first, and just signing on with this company to help me out. I have a six. So I will say by January 1, that will be in my.
Let me ask you this working backwards.
What if I say no?
It's okay. I'm just asking you to work backwards. What else would fix your practice? I mean, your chaos. Would another team member fix your chaos?
I don't know. I don't know.
Possibly, right?
Well, I'm hoping that hiring the consultant is kind of like adding a team member.
But it's not.
Kind of is, but it's not. But I understand what you're saying. But listen, I have two assistants. And, you know, so, and one of them's really kind of doing a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of...
The reason I say this, Rich, is the saying is that winning fixes everything, right?
True.
Okay, and in dentistry, winning is production and collections, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah,
so to me... Yeah, who cares about production, but collections, right? So when you collect more, mm-hmm. it kind of makes things better,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's certain things that we're willing to put up with for the right finances. There's certain things that the right financing allow us to buy. There's certain privileges, like having a personal assistant for me.
Right.
You know, I've earned that at this stage of my mm-hmm. life, right? Not because I've earned it because of the time. I've earned it from a financial end, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think... that if you dedicated a little bit of time and effort to implementing medical billing, what you would find is it would buy you another team member.
And I'm not, listen, again, this isn't something me saying I'm not going to do medical billing.
No, I get it.
You know, for me...
But I'm challenging you.
I'm accepting your challenge, just not by the date that you laid out.
Why not? Because I'm right.
You can say you're right. But
I am right.
But
here's why, Rich. Because you... Okay, so look, you don't have to do it, okay?
And thanks the people for giving me that out. I appreciate
the people
that.
That listening don't have to, but I want to justify what I'm saying, okay? In that you're going to miss the three best months of medical billing.
Right, no, I get that.
Okay, October, November, December are the best months,
right.
Okay? So if you don't put the implementation into place now, mm-hmm. you're going to miss those months.
Right.
And then you're going to start doing medical billing in January, February, March, and those are the worst months
right.
for medical billing.
I agree. No, that's a great point.
You know, so I always look at this, you know, set yourself for success. Set your team members up for success, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So because if you start doing this and they have to do a little bit more work and they're not seeing the rewards for it because of the deductibles, because of copays, because of all those things,
right.
then they're not as excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just food for thought.
No, I like it. No, it's a great point. Really good point. I love it. You
know. So my next challenge, mm-hmm. where are we at with sleep?
That's.
I know you're tired right now, but where are we at with sleep?
I am tired right now. And I love the fact that your T-bone sleeps. That, you know, that's,
yeah, and I'm so, wide awake.
I know, it's shocking. Yeah, no, I don't do, and that's with my practice coming in. Every year I try to kind of reinvigorate a part of my practice.
One new procedure.
You know, every year. Yeah. So this year wasn't necessarily a procedure to
no,
me.
No, but this year you have an this, influx of
this year meetings. For me is controlling, just creating systems. So next year, but sleep is by far where my, you know, my next 12 months is for my practice.
100%. So have you been doing any sleep?
I don't do a lot of sleep right now.
But you've been trained on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where's the struggle there? I'm asking because so many people have taken sleep education, mm-hmm. and then I ask them how they're doing with it, and they're like, yeah, I do it. And as soon as they say that...
But we don't do it nowhere. No.
They're like one every month,
yeah,
or
yeah,
every other month.
Right. No, exactly.
So why not?
You know, I think what ends up happening is just like everything else that we do, if, especially now, like, I know for me, with my career the last 9 years, since I bought my practice, has been, you know, trying to get a practice to grow.
Right.
And it was kind of half of my energy was focused there.
You're just trying to survive sometimes.
I was. And also, I was building this lecturing career that was kind of going off in a, like, talk about things going off exponentially. That really went exponential for me.
But you put attention to it. So I know the things that you put attention
to
will do well.
And that's, and so now what I'm trying to do is, I'm lecturing less now. My big thing is now I have actually gotten away from doing some lectures, not only for this year, but I've set a limit on myself for the remainder of this year and then all through next year of how many I'm willing to take. So instead of doing three lectures, sometimes four a month, I'll do one and maybe one local one. So now what it does is it finally gives me the time, because it is... In trying to, like you said, you got to spend some time to do it. Well, I'm at my office 11 hours on Monday. I'm at my office 8 to 5. So I get to my office at 7 in the morning to deal with some of the paperwork I didn't get the day before. So 7 to 5:30 on Tuesday, 7 to 5:30 on Wednesday, 7 to 2 on Thursday. And then I run to the airport and I fly somewhere to lecture Friday, Saturday, to try to get home Saturday night, but sometimes Sunday.
It's tough.
I got kids. I got a wife. I want to see them. I want to talk to them. When you got to sit there and say, well, you got to make time to do this. You use this term to me so much over the last 9 years. What all has gone is you got to find a balance.
Yeah,
and
right.
So in wanting to find a balance, I know I want to do sleep. I know. But with everything else going on, it's trying to sit there and trying to figure out when that balance is for me. You know, so now I'm trying for the first time to sit there and say, all right, it's time to step back a little
Look
bit from the lecturing side of stuff. I'm still going to lecture, just not the way I was. And really, I want to focus on... like watching this practice grow the way it's growing. I want to control it in a way that now I get to just do the stuff I want to do with it and then hopefully grow it into maybe expanding the practice, getting an associate, doing all those kind of things, you know, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year kind of goals with that.
Good for you. So, have you written those down?
I do have them written down, as a matter of fact, because that was part of the coaching thing that I had to do.
Okay, good. Because the first step to achieving any goal is to write it down.
Right.
It's interesting. You know what I did in my office? I painted everything a whiteboard. My whole office is the Houtan, you remember? My whole office is a whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not white, but it's a whiteboard lacquer that you put. So I can write on anything and erase, and some of you will come in and, well, you're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you.
I mean, I'm just saying. I just put everything as a whiteboard. I can write on there and erase it, and it's awesome.
I like it.
I go in there, and I look like the Beautiful Mind guy.
You do not look like the Beautiful Mind guy. Wasn't the Beautiful Mind guy like Russell Crowe or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Russell Crowe.
You do not look like Russell Crowe, just so you know.
I'm much better looking than Russell Crowe.
Russell Grow.
I'm the brown. I'm Russell Peters, okay? What are you talking about, okay? So, all right, you got any questions for me, Rich?
Let me see. My questions for you are, here's what I want you to do, because I love the way you do stuff, and we're talking about challenges. My challenge to you is, I know how important things like medical are to you, you know, like to getting people do it, because I think you see it as a way to create easy revenue for dentists, you know, in a way that people aren't doing it. But again,
I look at medical, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I want to clarify how I look at medical insurance, okay? At the end of the day, look, I'm comfortable producing what I'm producing. Mm-hmm. To me personally, okay?
It's just an adjunct.
Okay, no, but see how I don't look at it that way. I'm not really trying to increase my revenue, my personal revenue.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to do is increase where my revenue comes from.
Okay.
So every $1,000 I collect from medical, for example, that's 6 fillings I don't have to do.
Right. I get it.
Okay. So in our practice, we're averaging say probably $15,000 a month in medical insurance. So that to me is, you know, what is that? That's 100 fillings or so I don't have to do, right? So that's how I look at everything.
So my question to you is, how are you going to, as an educator in something that you're very passionate about, obviously we spend a lot of time talking about medical, is, so for me, the left side of the bell curve, the dumbass that sits in the back and like is doing Pokemon Go.
I wouldn't call you a dumbass,
you know, but
that's okay.
But that's okay. So I'm doing Pokemon Go and I'm watching, I'm eating, you know, I'm shooting things out of your armpit that, you know, there's a little Pikachu in your armpit. I come up with a way, and Houtan's sitting here in the corner. I'm challenging him too.
I've got a way. Go ahead.
To not only just to say this is great, but come up with a flow chart for me on how to, like, so I can hand it to my front and be like, this is how you do it.
Just come down to Raleigh. I mean, you know, you can come.
But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the masses.
But I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it.
I will be at Raleigh. We've got it.
It's a routing slip that when you're in the operatory, you check off what you did on the patient, what your diagnosis codes were.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to your team members, and your admin team takes it from there.
Good.
And ultimately, you don't have to come to Raleigh to get that, okay?
No, I know, but I know what you're saying.
But I'm saying, because ultimately, and the other part of that is I urge people to stop being fancy with medical billing. And too often we're too fancy with it. And at the end of the day, to me, it's about the exams, the x-rays, the appliances, and the basic oral surgery that you're doing, okay? The basic stuff, not these fancy cases, not this fancy stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about the everyday stuff, the stuff that you're giving away for free, the stuff that you're not doing, the things that you can utilize medical to get your patients to say yes to it, things like sleep. You know, my average patient pays between $0 and $500 out of pocket for an appliance. And that those appliances bring $2,500 to $3,000 each to the practice.
Right.
Okay, so we have a systemized way of utilizing medical insurance to help our patients to get sleep appliances. Just like we have a systemized way of helping our patients get exams covered, or a systemized way to help CBCT get covered. You know, in our practice.
You're doing your notes, or your team members doing your notes for you?
We have templated notes. That I will do on complicated cases, and we have templated notes that the team does based on my route slip, because mm-hmm. I check off the diagnosis codes I want them to use that they do. Mm-hmm. You know, so that all exists. What else you got for me?
I want to know who taught your son his mad Jedi skills.
That would be all me, because I have mad exercise skills.
You do. I've seen you exercise. What was the townie meeting? Didn't you walk into the thing for like 1 minute? How long was it?
That was with Don Bell and the insanity. I was like, I showed up in dress shoes, number one, okay?
That's right.
I got there for like 3 minutes. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, why did I get up for this? But I made a promise that I'd be there. So I got there. I didn't make a promise that I'd stay. No, but in all seriousness, you know, I took my son, my Ubby's now six, so he would have been five at the time, to see Star Wars, what is it, Episode 7? Huh? And I took him to see it, and he had never heard or seen it. He was mesmerized by it. So we got home, and I happened to have already had the first
originals
on all the six episodes on iTunes, right? So he watches them. He can repeat the words to them. And so then we bought, you know, then he wanted a lightsaber.
Seriously, he needs a YouTube channel. It is when you
post.
He has
a YouTube channel. It's Marvel Ubby. But
when you post videos of him just in your den.
Air. But he's doing this in the air.
It's the great. I could watch it all day. Watch it all day. It's hysterical.
And then his dream came true. When we went on the Disney cruise, right. Star Wars cruise, and he got to fight Darth Vader. I mean, he thought he was in heaven. I mean, it was awesome. And then he was, you know, when he saw, like that Star Wars day, like one day was Star Wars. And he saw Chewbacca, and he saw the stormtroopers.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I think he was trying to fight these people and stuff. You know, it was awesome.
Here's a question as we're talking about these great vacations. You said something to me at dinner today, and I know you've talked to me about this, and we were talking about balance and all that stuff. And one thing you say that I really love, and I don't know how to do it yet, but I know what you're going to, what you're going to tell me to do, but is, I asked you about taking vacations.
Yeah.
And what did you say to me today when
I said, number one, we pre-plan them. Number one, I said we take a week off a month.
Right.
And I pre-plan them.
So, yeah, I mean, and that to me was fantastic.
Okay,
I mean,
but so again, I come back to, see, this is why I'm so passionate about what I call auxiliary income.
Correct.
Okay. Secondary provider. Medical insurance to me is a secondary provider. Mm-hmm. It is something somebody else does for me, right?
Right.
Some team member. Or you can have Hutan do it, okay?
Correct.
Sleep apnea is, again, another thing that my assistant does, okay? Invisalign, it's another thing that an auxiliary does in my practice. You know, certainly I do the diagnosis, I'll come in and check, right? But it's not like an MOD. For
right.
me to do an MOD, I got to do the stupid thing, right?
Right? Yep.
I got to prep it, I got to do all, I got to fill it. I mean, I got to do all of it in mm-hmm. North Carolina, at least, right? So to me, that's why I'm so passionate about these secondary procedures. Number one, they don't take up my time. Number two, they can be done without me, right? They don't take up my time and can be done without me, and they pay better.
Right.
You know, fillings pay $150 a pop.
Yep.
Sleep appliances pay $3,000 a pop, right? You know, Invisalign pays $4, $5, $6, whatever the number is per time you do it.
Right.
So to me, I get frustrated with dentists who spend more time on how am I going to do fillings? How am I going to have systems to do? How am I needed systems to treat my 800 patients or whatever the number is, my influx of patients? And to me, it should be, okay, what do I got to do so I don't need to see these 800 patients, right? And so to me, that's why I'm so passionate about medical billing right now. I'm so passionate about sleep. So right now, I'm passionate about implants. We didn't even talk about implants very much. You know, there's so many things I'm passionate about there because it allows me to say, you know what, Rich, I think the next step for you, quite honestly, and I briefly mentioned this today at dinner, was that you're going to need to bring an associate partner into your practice, whether that's part-time or whatever that is. Because quite honestly, to me, it's unfair that you are a practicing dentist of 18 years, 20 years now, okay, and you get paid the same as a first-year associate for fillings because you're on insurance plans.
Right.
So why in the hell are you doing fillings?
Right.
You know, why in the world are you doing those things? You should be beyond that. Now you can pick and choose certain patients you want to do them on and all of that, but you should be, Rich, I know you. You should be beyond that. You should, honestly, we should all be beyond single-unit crowns. Why in the world are we doing single posterior crowns? There's no reason for us to be doing those, quite frankly, okay? And we need to be focusing our attention. We need to create some level of open time so that we can fill it with more productive procedures.
Correct.
And to me, productive isn't more patients more efficiently. To me, I define productive as better procedures on less patients.
Yeah, great way to phrase it, yeah, for sure.
So, all right, Rich, we're out of time.
T, it's been a great, however freaking long it's been.
Yeah, I thank God we're in room 1406.
And thank God, and now we can drink
some. So are you going to stay on the elevator?
I'm taking the stairs now.
All right, everybody, real quick, my last words here I love Rich, always love talking to you. Rich, how can people get in touch with you?
You can always just email me. It's my name, richrosenblatt@gmail.com. And you can come and visit me at Lake Forest. I work with the guys down in Spear at CerecDoctors.com. So if you're a Cerec user, get on the website and say hi. And yeah, those are generally the main places to find me.
That's awesome. And I want to say, listen, thank you for allowing me to ask tough questions. And thank you for asking some semi-tough questions. I was hoping you could really ask me some tough questions. And there's so much we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about Townie. We didn't talk about how we met. We didn't talk about your speaking. We didn't talk about, you know, all the other, your family, your kids. You know, we didn't talk about your Hawaii vacations. We didn't talk about Cerec and basic training. There's so many things we didn't cover. But what I really wanted today, Rich, and I got it, was I wanted to really bring an everyday dentist in that's had some struggles, that's having success, that's having, you know, growing pains. And I wanted to get an honest assessment of it. And I think people will really resonate with your message, and they'll be able to hear this and say, that's me, I feel that way. So that's what I really, selfishly, that's what I wanted.
No, I appreciate it. It's always, you know, I've always been very honest. You know me. Yeah. I'm kind of like you. I just say it like it is. I don't try to pretend.
You're
not
like me. I just say inappropriate things.
Well, that too. When am I not inappropriate too? But, so I always say, I get up and I do all this lecturing that I do because I'm good at breaking stuff down and teaching people how to do it. It's just something that when you talk about passion, I'm passionate about. But, you know, I've always been honest the whole time about the struggles of, I'm not a business person. It's not something that I enjoy doing. It's just not, it's one of those things where I love the social aspect of it. I love talking with my patients. I hate running the business.
It's tough.
It's horrible. And so, I don't have a problem letting people know that, you know, luckily I love what I do. So it was, staying with it and knowing that eventually the ship would right. You know, I didn't expect something like this happening that happened to me and happened to, unfortunately, to the gentleman whose practice I bought. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to just kind of stay the course and make it happen. This way was one that worked for me personally. But I'll always be honest about that kind of stuff. And I'm thrilled to be able to share
it. You know, honestly, the speaking circuit needs more people like us, to be quite honest with you. There's too many old farts out there. There's too many people not telling you the truth. There's too many people that aren't living it every day, that aren't in practice. And honestly, it drives me crazy. It's one of the, you know, quite frankly, I could quit practice tomorrow and probably be more successful teaching and lecturing and doing all of those things because I could spend more time on it. But I would feel like a hypocrite, to be quite honest with you, to do that and not actually be practicing dentistry. And quite honestly, I love the challenges of it. So, Rich, till next time, thank you very much. And everybody, thank you for listening. And I hope you share this with a friend and join our Facebook community at T-Bone Speaks on Facebook. So have a great day.
Thanks, T.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal.
Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.